on a topic of anxiety. Now, that particular week was a great opportunity to cover that because it happened to be a week that Jeremy and Carol were out of town and Jim and Mary were out of town, and Nick and I were trying to cover everything all together, and we did not know how to get everything set up in the computer so that you could have everything on the screen and everything could get recorded. And so we had to kind of learn on the fly, and so it was a real message even to us about not being anxious about anything, because there was plenty to be anxious about that morning. But the one thing that we missed out of all of it was it did not get recorded. And I had a number of folks contact me later and wanted to know if I would be willing to do that message again at some point. And I said, yeah, at some point we'll do it again so we can get it recorded, because the information that's in there is actually really good information. And I got a lot of comments from the folks that were here that week about the how much that helped them and being able to get that information. So since it was all still in the computer, and I happen to have my tablet today that still had that information on it, we're going to take this week and I'm going to bring you that message again. So if you remember it and you just want to take a nap, feel free. That's fine. You don't have to. If everything's going smoothly in your life and you don't have anything to be anxious about and you want to take a nap, that's fine. Feel free. If you need to go get a cup of coffee, do it. That's okay. But we're gonna cover this one again for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's a great opportunity for us to be able to go ahead and get that captured and get it recorded. Jim's here this week, so we can make sure that happens. But it also really is a good message. And that information that's in there is information that I think it's good for us to have a reminder of on a from time to time on a fairly regular basis. And part of the reason is, if you think about your life, the lives of people around you, many of us deal with this anxiety, this worry, on a regular basis, or the people around us do. I'm going to try this again. New batteries help, Jim. We tried this the last time I was using it, and it was pretty finicky. But this time, maybe it'll work. That'll be good. Anyway, it's actually been called the scourge of our generation. Anxiety, for whatever reason, everybody just seems to be worrying about stuff or anxious about stuff today. It just is a common ongoing issue, and it's really not supposed to be a part of the life of a believer. There's a lot of effects that come from this. When you're dealing with anxiety, it has kind of a negative effect on the physical body. It has a negative effect on us emotionally. And if you stop and think about it, I deal with it all the time as I'm working with folks, and we see as they're dealing with stress in their lives and in our lives, there are ramifications of that stress. It actually causes not only the things that you would expect with the worry, anxiety, depression, but it also causes physical ailments. It can actually have an impact to our physical well-being. And it's something that is dealt with quite often throughout the Bible, throughout Scripture. It's something that's addressed on a regular basis. Anxiety in itself, it's not necessarily a bad thing, depending on how we address it. So if we use anxiety or worry to identify potential problems, potential things coming down the road that need to be addressed, that we need to make some adjustments or changes to try and make an outcome a little bit better or to try and avoid a situation, that's actually not looked at as bad, even in Scripture. And so that's not what I'm talking about today. The issue is when we allow anxiety to overcome every aspect of our life, when it becomes so prevalent that all we can do is worry. Now, for most of us, that's not something that happens all the time, but we do hit those points where there are things that are coming up or things that are going on that we really don't know how to deal with, and we wind up allowing ourselves to be consumed with that concern or that worry or that anxiety, and that's what I'm talking about. And the real reason for this is, if you stop and think about it, not only does it create physical ailments, it has an impact on our physical health, but it steals our joy. And we were intended to live lives of joy. And yet if we spend all of our time focusing on the negative, it steals our joy. And so that's what I want to address again this morning, and kind of give us some things to think about. I want to look at it from the biblical perspective, what the Bible has to say about it. And I also want to look at some things that we can do to be able to help overcome that, because it really doesn't do a lot of good if I just sit up here and say, hey, guys, don't worry. Knock it off. Stop it. Not really effective, right? I mean, you can listen to the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, right? Love that song. Always love that song. But that just really isn't helpful. We need to have some things that we can do, mechanisms to be able to help us through that. I'm going to address this first on what Paul has to say, and we're going to look at it from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Sounds like they had similar problems back then, because this was what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And I can't imagine he would waste the time and the scroll to put that down unless it were an issue. So what is it that Paul tells us? Don't be anxious about anything. How easy is that? Right? I don't know. Oh, for you guys it must be easy. Not a problem. Okay, well, we don't have to worry about spending a lot of time on it then. We'll just kind of breeze through this. So when we allow anxiety to overcome, when we allow anxiety to become such a prevalent part of our life, as I was saying, it has that physical and emotional impact. We actually lower, I don't know, you guys understand what happens when you have the anxiety, the stress, what that does to your body's immune system? It actually lowers your ability to fight off infections. It allows you to get sicker. Not just, you know, mental, I don't feel well stuff, but physically allows your body to get sick because it lowers your body's immune system, its ability to respond to and fight off those infections. And like I mentioned before, the emotional part of it, it can consume us and take us to the point where we no longer have joy in our lives. Anybody ever dealing with stress or anxiety just feel completely wiped out, no energy? It just saps the energy from us, or we can't even get things accomplished. And here's a really interesting thing about this. That's a self-perpetuating problem. Because when you allow it to drain you of all your energy, you don't have the energy to overcome it. And it just gets you into this loop that we can't get ourselves out of. Anybody ever experienced that? Uh-huh, yep. Most of us at some point or another. It really, though, it's unfortunately, it's just one of those traits that we deal with as humans. And obviously it's an issue that has to be dealt with because it's addressed many times in the Scriptures. And I'm just going to take a quick look. We're going to go to the Old Testament and we're going to look at what the Scriptures have to say on this topic. Well, that's not in the Scriptures. This is part of the problem when you're putting things together with like 30 minutes notice. That true? Absolutely true. For those of us that have looked back for issues that we've dealt with in the past, and you think about all that time and effort and energy that we put into stressing and worrying about something that never actually came to be. In Proverbs, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Sound like what we were just talking about? In Psalms, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Psalms 23, most of you are familiar with this one. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight, or will direct your paths, depending on the translation. In Jeremiah, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. The leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Back in Psalms, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. You get a sense that this anxiety issue has been around for a while? A couple years. Yeah, this is something that we all deal with. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then in Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truths and teach me, for you are God my Savior and my hope is in you all day long. You know who Joshua is? You guys have heard the name, right? Not just from people you've met. Joshua is who took over for Moses as the Israelites were taking over the promised land. This is the person that led the Israelites against the Canaanites and the others that were in the promised land. And he and one other, when they first came to the promised land and were sent in as spies, if you want to think it that way, to scope out the land to see what challenges they were going to have to deal with as they were taking the land that God had promised them. And Joshua and one other came back. There were a whole series of them. The others came back and said, wow, these guys are big. They're giants. They're huge. There's nothing we can do about this. I don't know why God sent us here. We can't defeat these people. And Joshua comes back and goes, that's nothing. With God, we can do this. This is not a problem. That's who wrote these words. That's the Joshua that wrote these words. Looking on the giants that terrified others and said, with God, we can accomplish this. Let's move into the New Testament. In Matthew, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In John chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This is Jesus talking. This is what he has to say on this subject. In 1 Peter, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. In Colossians, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. There's a new aspect to throw in there. 2 Thessalonians, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. In Luke, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Again, this is Jesus talking. I don't know, have you guys figured that out? Does worry add another hour to our lives? Really? Okay. In Hebrews, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. When we think about anxiety, and we think about the times that we've ever dealt with this, what has it ever accomplished? Stress. Gray hairs. I almost put it up here for Shelley's sake, or for most of my family, there's an important philosophy that we picked up from one of the stories that we enjoy. It's called, what the philosophy is my philosophy is when you worry, you only suffer twice. And if I'm going to give the credit to that, that's Newt Scamander. Oh, is there really? That's good to know. So how do we overcome this? It's not easy to do, right? No? Is there a cure for anxiety? Well, there is some medications, to Amy's point. There are some things that if we're dealing with an actual chemical imbalance, if there's some things related to that and related to depression. I'm not talking about those when we need to deal with a clinical diagnosis where we have to get psychologists and doctors involved, although there are times when that needs to happen. And it's appropriate when that happens. For those of you that think that that's there's some kind of a stigma associated with that, there should not be. So if someone is at a point where they need that assistance, then by all means get that assistance. But if we're dealing with just kind of the overwhelming stuff that we deal with on a regular basis, there are some things that we can do to be able to overcome this. The first thing is to be prepared. It's to prepare early. When, and we don't always have this as an option, but when we know that the situation's going to be coming, we can start putting things in place and preparing for making it where the outcome of that or the concerns for it are being addressed. Like I said, that's not always an option. But when it is, if you just run through life being blown around by whatever direction the wind blows, instead of preparing for some of those things that are coming, and what I mean by that is, I'll give you as an example, we all know that Christmas is coming. Anybody shocked by the fact that Christmas is coming? If all of a sudden you're looking at the things that need to be done for Christmas and you're looking at problems with time or problems with finances and it just all of a sudden comes upon you in December and now you're all stressed and worried about it, whose fault is that? You had 12 months to prepare for that. Christmas comes at the same time every year, right? So the point I'm getting at is there are things that we allow ourselves to be shocked and surprised by that we should not be shocked and surprised by. And so you prepare early. You identify and prepare. Excuse me. Prepare for those things so that you're not creating problems when you don't need to be creating them. The second thing is keeping perspective. One of the things that anxiety does, that worry does, is it turns molehills into mountains. We can allow ourselves to become so overwhelmed by the situation and what's going on that we tend to lose perspective on it, and it becomes all-encompassing, all-focusing. It just consumes everything that we are thinking and doing. when in reality, at the end of the day, it really might not be that big of an impact. It might not be something that is as concerning or as important. That may be, and that's fine. But if you stop and think about it, many of the things that we tend to allow ourselves to dwell on and stress over, at the end of the day, don't really mean much in 5 years. And it's really kind of a good way to look at it and think about it. So, is this something that I need to be concerned about? Is this going to have an impact in me in 3 to 5 years? And if the answer is yes, then that's fine. But if the answer is no, why are we wasting time on this? Why are we allowing it to overcome and take over so much of our life? And why are we allowing it to direct our thoughts and steal our joy? It's not easy to do, I get it. But it's important. I wanted to remove those components because now we're going to talk about how do we address kind of some of the bigger issues that we're dealing with in life. And I want to reread this in Philippians, and I want to focus on some things. So pay attention to what's in here because Paul really addressed this and he's given us the coping mechanisms to deal with it. Finally, brothers and sisters, who's that? Brothers, sisters, anybody in here not fit that category? Okay, just making sure. He's talking to all of us, right? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Do you understand how you can change your thought process? I'll address it this way. Do you know what the difference is between the person you are today and the person you'll be in 5 years? Okay, from a psychology standpoint, let me teach this to you. You ready for this? It is the music you listen to, the people you associate with, the television and movies that you watch, the books you read. Our brains, I like to, when I'm working with folks with this, look at it or bring it in a perspective of it's like a library. And when we start off as children, the library is empty. There's nothing in it. Now, there are some personality traits that just come along with genetics. But by and large, who we are, how we think, and how we approach the world is learned behaviors based on the outside influences acting upon us. You understand what I'm saying? So we start to become what we're exposed to. If you think about it, issues and problems that carry across generations often is a learned behavior, right? So whatever we put in our mind is what is going to become an aspect of our personality. And if we're allowing nothing but negative influences to enter our mind, guess what kind of personality we're going to have? We're going to have a negative personality. But if we think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, and we spend our time focusing on that instead of the negative, you can reprogram your mind. Did you know that? The difference between who you are today and who you're going to be in 3 to 5 years, you can control by controlling what you allow into your lives. And Paul's teaching us, focus on positive. Focus on good things. Focus on the things that make us feel better, that help us to be better. That's where our focus should be. And then whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Well, guess what that is? You're reading it right now. The Scriptures. Jesus' interaction with this world. God's interaction with this world. When you learn to start putting positive influences into your mind, to remove the negative influence as much as can, negative happens, just a part of the human condition, can't get away from it, negative happens. But when you learn to start focusing deliberately, you understand what I'm saying? When you learn to start focusing deliberately on those things that are positive, those things that are enjoyable, those things that are right, those things that Paul is instructing us to focus on, and you include in that a study in the Scriptures, a study in what God has provided for us to learn about Him and His plan for us, what's the result? The God of peace will be with you. I don't know, does that sound better than worrying all the time? We have control of this, folks. And this is the part that I struggle with in trying to get people to understand, because so many of us think that life just happens and we have no control over it. Well, you're right. Things in life happen and we don't have control over it. But we do have control over the inputs into our mind and our personalities. And we get to choose. And if we choose negative, that's what you're going to get. But if we choose positive, guess what you're going to get? The third and most important. Anybody want to take a guess? Anybody remember from last time? Prayer. Why would prayer be important? What's prayer? It's a conversation with God. Thank you, Brian. Prayer is nothing more, nothing... Did I hear somebody? Turning it over to God. It's nothing more than nothing less than a conversation with God. Now, I'm going to change that perspective a little bit for you, okay? Prayer is nothing more or nothing less than a conversation with the Creator of the universe, who holds the universe in the palm of His hand and also just happens to be our Heavenly Father, who loves and cares about each one of us so much that He knows the very numbers of the hairs on our heads every day. The Creator of the universe loves each of us, loves you, and even me, shockingly enough, so much that He wants to have a relationship with us. And we have the opportunity now, because of what Christ has done, the sin debt repaid, the relationship restored, that we can go before the Creator of the universe and cry out, Abba Father, which in the best translation I know is Daddy. And have a conversation with Him about what's going on in our lives. And do you know what that conversation does? Are you going to change His mind? Probably not. I will tell you that I believe that believers, true believers in prayer, can move the mind of God. But what it really does is it aligns us to Him. And when you're focusing on Him, and you're looking at things from His perspective, remember, change the perspective, and you're looking at it from His perspective, it kind of changes what it is that we're dealing with, and all of a sudden we can get a clearer look at it. And I'm going to use as an example things that we think are just life-changing, life-ending, things that we legitimately can and should be concerned about when you put things in perspective. From God's perspective, even that changes. And Brian, thank you for sharing that this morning. It was an amazing testimony. But even the loss of a loved one who is a believer is not a final loss. We know where they're going, and they're just going to be there waiting for us. and for us to come. So even something that would be considered as final as death, through the love that God has for us, when we understand things from an eternal perspective, from God's perspective, still painful, we still don't like to go through it, but it doesn't have the same sting. Doesn't have the same finality. Prayer. It aligns us to God's thinking. It changes our perspective to see things from His perspective. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? It's an unproductive emotion. I use as an analogy, it's like teaching a pig to sing, right? It serves no good purpose and all it does is annoy the pig. Worry serves no purpose. It serves no purpose. When we allow ourselves to be consumed by it, it's an unproductive emotion. It drains energy, steals our joy, and gives you nothing in return. You don't even add a single hour to your life. But seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be added as well. So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. We oftentimes drag concerns for the future into today. And Jesus said very clearly, don't do that. Don't waste your time with that. Do not allow those things of tomorrow to steal your joy today. So we now know how to address it. You guys have a choice. If you choose to be concerned and worried and spend all of your time and effort and energy and worry, if you choose to do that, I can't help you. But if you want to stop that, Paul has given us the instructions. Change the inputs in your life. Focus on the positive. Turn it over to God in prayer. And let the Creator of the universe help you deal with it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love and care about us so much that You are there with us, You are there for us, and that You are there as our Heavenly Father, as our Daddy, to help us to go through those challenging times and to give us the strength to do it. We know that life brings challenges. We know that it's within our nature to look at things from a different perspective. We tend to see it from the earthly perspective, the human perspective, and not Yours. But we ask that You would continue to be there and help us with seeing things from Your view, understanding what's really truly important and what really is just fleeting. We ask that You continue to give us strength. We know that there are going to be challenges that come in our lives, and we just thank You that You are there to help us walk through those. We ask that You continue to help us to study and to learn, that we can learn more about You and more about what You would have for our lives. But Lord, we know that this scourge of anxiety, it's prevalent throughout our society. We know that this is a problem for many, many, many people, and we just ask, Lord, that since we know that the solution for this is You, that You will help us to bring that solution to those people that don't know that You are the answer to the problem. Help us to demonstrate Your love. Help us to demonstrate Your forgiveness. Help us to demonstrate what You really want in that restored relationship with all of mankind. Lord, we love You and thank You, and we appreciate all that You do for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.